It's so sad for me that people in this day and age still find Christ. They don't know what having Christ in our life really is about. They don't understand that Christ is love. That it just makes me sad that people still don't know that Christ is love. That Christ is about love. That is strictly what Christ is about. That is the most simplistic way of putting it. Christ is not about division. It's not about war. It's not about protecting one's land. It's not about protecting. It's not about us versus them. The whole idea of Christ is us. There is no them. It is us. It is the world. It is a united. It is God looking at the world and saying, I love everything there. Everyone. That's what my prayer for this Advent. And when I hear songs like O Come Emmanuel, sung so brilliantly, Will, thank you so much for that. It touches my heart in a way because in the way that is a longing for not only for us to see Christ in our lives, but for other people to welcome Christ into theirs and to really understand what that means. We see a lot of things in our news today about people going to wars and people are fighting over elections and all of this kind of stuff, and they're protesting and everything like that. And so many of them are saying that we need to shove these people out or we need to shut these people out, and they're actually driving cars through protesters and they're doing all of this in the name of God. Are you kidding me? That's not what God is. That's not what Christ is. Christ is about love. And as long as I'm here, that's what I'm going to be preaching. I'm sorry about this, but this morning I just woke up feeling the strain of why we continue to fight each other and why we continue to dehumanize each other and why we continue to feel like we need to protect ourselves from somebody else when the person that we say that we follow was always about welcoming, was always about reaching out to the lost, was always about crossing those borders and welcoming people in. People in our world should not have to fight for their rights. Their rights were given to them by Christ. I pray that we can do that. I pray that we can do that. We've been talking about Advent this week, and what a great week to talk about it, because we've talked about hope, we've talked about peace, and today we talk about love. Love. Love sometimes can mean something that you don't think it means. Sometimes love goes against what you think, what your mind is set on, the rules that you have in your head, or the rules that you've been told. Love sometimes means that you have to think beyond those things. Sometimes love means that you have to look at not the black or the white, but the gray. Sometimes love means that you have to rethink what you were thinking. Sometimes love means you have to reanalyze the things that you thought were the right things to do. Sometimes love means change. Sometimes love means facing a fear, opening a door, tearing down a wall. Sometimes love means taking risks. And that's what happened many, many, many years ago. There was a guy named Joseph. And we don't know too much about Joseph in the Bible. There, again, this is, again, like Mary. This is a person in the first century, Middle Eastern. We try to paint different images of him. We try to use different imagery. Sometimes we put him as an older man because we want to say that he was dead. There's no record even of his death. We just assume that he died early. Some people will say that he was married before and he had children before. That's how Mary was to be a virgin for her entire life, because the Bible says that Jesus had siblings. We try to paint these pictures and we try to paint these stories to fit our view of them. If you go to the Western culture, the look of Joseph is completely different than if you go to the Eastern culture. We try to paint him into our own image. And in some cases, that's hurt us, because we've refused to think outside the box on certain things. We want to make sure that our nativity scene is reflective and looks like what we look like. And sometimes it's okay to actually think beyond that. You see, love, again, is defined as looking beyond ourselves, of not facing a stereotype, but going beyond and learning more about others. And Joseph had to face this 2,000 years ago, a little over 2,000 years ago. We're looking at Matthew 1, 18 through 19 here, and it says, "Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly." Now, many times we look at this passage here and we think, oh, that Joseph, what a hero. What a good guy, because you know, and a lot of pastors love to do this, they go, you know, in those days, they would have killed her. They would have thrown her down a well. And that's true. In some cases, in some cultures, even today, that happens. Tragically, that happens. But a lot of historians will think that during the time that this was happening, it may have happened, it may not have happened. It might have been one of those rules that people feared, but people didn't always do it. They didn't stone them to death, and they didn't, you know, there were cases. There's always the extreme case on each side, and then there's kind of the centered case. And I think what the Bible is saying is that Joseph was a pretty centered guy, that he wasn't out to kill anybody. He wasn't out to, you know, flog anybody. But he knew that he could not marry Mary. Mary. Because that was not okay. For her to be pregnant, that was not okay. It was not good for her reputation, and it definitely was not good for his reputation. And so he did what he thought was the right thing. He dismissed her. When he dismissed her, that basically means he disowned her. He let her go. He had nothing to do with her. He created a boundary. He ignored her. In those days, engagements would last a long time. In fact, it was almost as if, like, once the engagement started, you were kind of part of that marriage there. So in essence, he almost divorced her before they were married. He let her go, because he thought it was the right thing to do. In his teaching, in his culture, that was the right thing to do. And it had a lot to do with the pride aspect of it. It had a lot to do with not wanting to be somebody that had been duped. It had to do with somebody that he didn't want people, his peers, to come up and say, "Joseph, yeah, I see that. You're marrying somebody that is obviously, either you have disobeyed the rules or she has." It had to do with Joseph in his box, in his world, thinking this was the right thing to do. But you know what they never mention? They never mention the feelings that Joseph had. It just mentions the actions. This is just a news report. This is just a news report saying that Joseph didn't want to expose her to public disgrace, so he dismissed her quietly. But how do we think Joseph felt? Can we think for a minute how Joseph might have felt? Was he sad? Was he heartbroken? Did he think that Mary, who he wanted to marry, did he think that she cheated on him? Was he angry? Was he somebody that thought that he had been duped and he was humiliated by it? Did he want bad things to happen to Mary? You know how sometimes when you get duped and you feel like somebody has ripped you off in some way, the first thing that you want, one of the most instinctual things that you want, is you want them to have justice, and you want them to have, you want to have like some revenge against them. You want them to hurt because they hurt you. That's the way that we think in our world that we do things, right? Somebody hurts you, you hurt them. And even though Joseph didn't have the desire to actually cause that physical pain himself, was he kind of wishing it? We don't know. Was Joseph so insecure that he thought, I knew she would never love me. She must have found somebody else. Was Joseph at the brink of hurting himself? Sometimes we are in so much pain that we want to do harm to ourselves. Was Joseph one of those people? Keep in mind, the people of the first century were very much like the people now. We have the same struggles and we have the same arguments. We have the same fights. We also have the same fears. We also have the same frailties. We have the same reactions and the same feelings. At this time in Joseph's life, what he feels has happened is that Mary has cheated on him and gotten herself pregnant just before they were supposed to be married. How does Joseph feel? Angry? Sad? Grief? Hurt? Revengeful? Lost? Unloved? And the right thing to do at that time when you feel like that is to get him out of there. Just get him out of there. Nothing could shake this, because obviously there's the fact, there's the evidence right there. She is a threat to him. Get away from me. No matter how much it hurts, no matter how much pain I have, just get away from me. Because that's the way you do things, right? Maybe Joseph applied that to other parts in his world. Maybe in other parts of this world he was raised that he was supposed to hate the Romans because the Romans were the empire that was repressing the Hebrew people. Maybe he knew that that was the way that he was supposed to do things. He was supposed to cast out people that hurt him, and he was supposed to hate people that repress him. Maybe Joseph was told that he was supposed to dislike people that looked different than he did, because people that looked different than he did were not part of the purity of the tribe of Israel. So maybe he was raised that you were supposed to hurt people that hurt you, you were supposed to hate people that repress you, and you were supposed to not trust people that look different than you. Maybe. Maybe. Maybe Joseph also thought that he was also supposed to aspire to be of a person of certain status. And if he wasn't of the person of certain status, that he was not ever going to achieve anything. And maybe that's what caused some of his insecurities. Maybe that's what caused his insecurities, because he didn't have the social standing and he didn't climb that ladder and he didn't have the look or the income that was needed to be able to function in a higher level in that society. Maybe that's what Joseph thought. Maybe he thought, if they hurt you, hurt them. If they repress you, hate them. If they look different, don't trust them. And if you are not of a certain standing, you do not matter. Maybe. Maybe Joseph also thought that politically, if you were on a different side of his, and if you didn't agree with him, if you weren't part of his group there, then you were an enemy. You were a sworn enemy because you had differences. And so a line needed to be crossed. Maybe. Hurt those that hurt you. Hate those that repress you. Don't trust those that don't look like you. Be of a certain standing. And anyone that disagrees with you is your enemy. This would have been the norm in Joseph's life. Anything that the scripture does tell us, it does support everything that I just said there. The culture of that time was to do that. The culture of that time was definitely we versus they. Culture of today, we versus they. And then Joseph, he fell asleep. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took Mary as his wife. Is that what... Again, put yourself in Joseph's position. You're an adult now, and your mind is set. You have the rules based in your life. You are sticking to those rules. Hurt those that hurt you. Despise those that repress you. Don't trust those that are different than you. Be of a certain status. And anyone that disagrees with you is your enemy. And in a dream, just in a dream, a very powerful dream, one in which he actually saw an angel of God said, all of that is wrong. Because that's not love. Imagine waking up from something like that. Imagine today, if you were to wake up right now from a dream to where they said, this political division stuff, this hating people that are different than you, this kicking people out of your country that don't look like you, this making enemies of people that don't agree with you, it's wrong. Because that's not love. That's not what love is. It's wrong. That's not what love is. What love is God is with you. And you, and you, and you, and you. That's what love is. What love is understanding. What love is listening. What love is welcoming. What love is taking the risk to allow somebody into your life. What love is taking a risk to learn something different than you. What love is learning to accept people who disagree with you. Love is about learning that it's not all about you. This is one of the last times that Joseph will be mentioned in the Bible. But he had a first-class seat. He never got rich. He continued to live out his life in a world that he was repressed by a regime. He did continue to have people in his surroundings that were of different. And none of that seemed to matter anymore. Because on Christmas Day, he got to witness Emmanuel. A child that welcomed everybody. A child that opened the doors for everybody. A child that defied all politics, all social standings, all differences. He got to witness a child of love. I pray that when we go to bed tonight, we have a similar dream that Joseph had. Pray that it shakes us all. I pray for us all. Would you pray with me? Gracious God, let us find love in our arguments, in our fights, in our disagreements, in our prejudices, in our bigotry, in our judgment. Let us think of the child. Let us think outside the box. Let us reevaluate the things that we think are so right and so straightforward. Let us ask the question, in what I'm doing today, am I sharing, experiencing love? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My challenge for all of us this week, every one of us has an opinion, every one of us has a voice. Let's listen to God. Let's truly listen to God. Not to our comforts, not to our judgments, not to a news station, not to the things that we think are supposed to be, but let's take a pause and truly listen to what God is saying. It might make us rethink some things. It might reinforce some things, and it might make us rethink some things. Let us pray for love this week. If I could give you an assignment, find at least one way a day, starting today, to share love. If that's telling someone in your family that you love them, do it. If that means calling a friend and saying, you know what, I've never really said this before, but I do love you, do it. If it means crossing an aisle in a disagreement and saying we can still love each other, do it. And if it means looking in the mirror and saying I love you, do it. I'm begging you. Love God. Love yourself. Love your neighbor. Amen.